I'm John Batchelor with Professor Bill Taubman of Amherst College. With his brother Philip Taubman, have published a new book that's filled with information I've never read. Now, I'm not a narrow reader. I'm a wide reader. I had to ask Bill again and again before we started, has anybody ever seen this before? Much of it not, especially this part. Lyndon Johnson wants to be elected president of the United States. He wants the endorsement of the American people because he's inherited the job with the tragedy of JFK. But on the eve of his nomination process in Convention Hall in Atlantic City, in the heat of the summer, he hears a story that Jackie Kennedy is going to come out for Bobby Kennedy and urge his nomination for president. That does not happen. But there is reason to believe, in fact, it's in the voice of McNamara telling the president, that McNamara will spend the evening, the night, with Jackie Kennedy before that event could happen. And he will carry to the president the information that he wants to know, will Jackie Kennedy do this or not? A shorthand version is that McNamara, to win the favor of the president who's anxious and insecure and actually sure that he's going to be humiliated by the Kennedys again, he uses McNamara to spy on the Kennedys, and McNamara goes along with it. And it's not the only time he does it. Have I said that generally correctly, Bill?
Yes, you have, although I think I would alter slightly the notion of McNamara's motivation, because by the time this happens, I think McNamara is already clearly Johnson's fair-haired boy. I'm not at all sure. This would be speculation. I'm not at all sure that he needs to do this spying on the Kennedys to ensure his future in the Johnson White House. But he does do it, and he does it quickly and willingly and effectively. And he does it for all those reasons, because he has already become a kind of favorite of Jacqueline Kennedy and a friend of Bobby Kennedy. So he has an intro into their lives. He does indeed fly up to Rhode Island to spend a weekend at the home of Jacqueline Kennedy's mother, where Jackie herself is present. He is indeed close to Bobby Kennedy. And later on, when Bobby Kennedy makes a run for president in 1968, McNamara endorses him, in effect, at a time when he, McNamara, has already become president of the World Bank and is not supposed to be endorsing any candidates in American politics. So he's close to both Bobby and to Jackie, and he undertakes to check on their attitude toward the presidential election in 64. And he comes back to reassure Johnson that Jackie is not going to do what Johnson fears she's going to do. And he also comes back to a report, whether on this particular trip or later, that Bobby Kennedy has decided to aim for the Senate and to run for senator in New York rather than president, which much reassures Johnson, but probably discombobulates McNamara, because I don't think McNamara was the kind of guy, he was a straight arrow, he was a Boy Scout. I don't think he liked the idea of reporting back to Johnson on the inner feelings or political plans of Bobby and of Jackie.
The word you and Philip use for the relationship between McNamara and the First Lady is opaque. And that's very well said, because the information here is suggestive, but opaque. They have had a affection for each other since they danced a twist together in parties in 1961 and 62 in Georgetown.
Yes.
McNamara's a good dancer, and Jackie enjoys his company. But after the president's death, you have many anecdotes where, and you take it from letters that Jackie wrote to McNamara, to Robert McNamara, that she depends upon his strength a great deal over time. And you repeatedly report when Marjorie goes out of town on business, because she becomes a very prominent person in terms of having children read books, that he would spend the night or the evening, it's left unclear, with Jackie Kennedy. They, in a romantic terms, they were very good friends. Is that fair, Bill?
Well, I think we even use the term loving, that she developed a kind of love for him and he for her. We do not speculate about how this was consummated or whether it was consummated, but it was quite clear that he not only admired her as an intelligent, sophisticated, beautiful woman, but that he wanted to help her, especially after her husband was so brutally murdered. One of the things he said early on, which shocked us, was he offered to buy her a house, right, or to buy her the house in which she had lived before she and John Kennedy moved into the White House. And she talked to him in her letters to him by saying she wanted him to be a model for John Kennedy Jr. She wanted him to be the kind of father figure for John, little John, that his father never had a chance to become.
But the war was always there. The night of the incident where she pounded on McNamara's chest, when was that?
Well, he goes up to New York, and very interestingly, he goes up without a security detail. And he gets on a bus to her apartment on Fifth Avenue. He's staying down by the river, East River. And he gets jostled on the bus, and somebody picks his pocket. So when he gets to the restaurant he wants to take her out to, he has to beg money from the president of the World Bank, whom he notices there. But this is all sort of by the by, because as they spend the evening together at her apartment on Fifth Avenue, sitting on the sofa, she gets so agitated about the war and so convinced that only he can end it, that she begins to pound on his chest, saying, "End the bomb. You must end the slaughter. End the slaughter." She has decided, quite rightly, that he wants to end the war. And she thinks he might be able to do so, and she hopes and prays that he will.
McNamara at War, A New History, Philip Taubman and William Taubman. When we come back, Vietnam. This is CBS Eye of the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.